This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا فما بعد my dear brothers and sisters Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us why he created us and he gave us two definitions one our creation as individuals, and the second one, our creation collectively as the Ummah of Rasulullah ﷺ. As individuals, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَمَا أَخَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ I have not created the insan and the jinn, the humans and the jinn, for anything other than my worship. That applies to every human being and every jinn. The purpose of creation is to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There can be no purpose which is superior to the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the highest rank, that is the highest job, that is the most prestigious, the most honorable of jobs, which is the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is no priesthood in Islam. We do not have priests and monks, and we do not have clerics, and we don't have anyone who worships on our behalf or who performs worship on the behalf of somebody else or who is a confessor of somebody's sins and who forgives others. This is all of these are things only Allah does. We as Muslims believe that we worship ourselves, we worship, the responsibility of worship is on ourselves. And we worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is not something that someone does for us. We do it for ourselves. Number one. Number two is that seeking forgiveness, we ask Allah and Allah forgives us. There is no intercessor. There is no person in between. This is part of our aqidah, alhamdulillah. And this is what makes us and our religion, mashallah, unique. So the first purpose of creation is to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the second purpose, which is a collective purpose of the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, all of us together, is Allah said, "Kuntum khaira ummatin ukhrijat linnas ta'muruna bil ma'rufi wa tanhauna 'anil munkari wa tu'minuna billah." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, which means you are the best of people and you have been created for the benefit of people. And you, how do you do that? By enjoining good and forbidding evil. And you have faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So these two things have been specified for us. Now, looking at the first one, of course, we must worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and try to fulfill His right, meaning that we should try to worship Him as it is His right to be worshipped. And no matter whether we succeed in it or not, the effort must be made, and the effort must be made continuously until our last breath. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu to make it easy for us and to accept it from us, inshallah. But the issue of da'wah, the issue of benefiting others, this is the essence of da'wah. What is the da'wah? Da'wah is to enjoin good and forbid evil. And da'wah is something which is beneficial for people. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, we have created you to benefit people. Benefit people in every way, whatever the way. And that's why Amar al-Maruf and Nahi al-Munkar is not something to be interpreted narrowly as only enjoining what is halal and stopping what is haram in Islam. For example, building a hospital or encouraging people to build a good school or encouraging people to improve the quality of teaching and learning in schools and madaris and Darul Uloom. Or to talk about the maintenance of a masjid, to have that as a benchmark for maintenance, do it in such a beautiful way that people can bring each other and show them and say, look, if you want a place to be maintained, look at this place. This is how you maintain a place. Just think about this. I keep on talking about the importance of quality. I'll tell you a real story. And the story is that several years ago, in 2014, I was invited to speak at the International Conference on Education on Faith-Based Education in London by the Association of Muslim Schools of England. And I was invited to speak there. And I met among others the head of the Department of Education for UK. A very interesting story, which was that the Department of Education, obviously they are concerned with the quality of education. So they were talking to the people who run faith-based schools. So this is non-secular schools. And this includes the three what they call the Abrahamic faiths, which is Jewish schools, Muslim schools, and Christian schools. So Catholic schools and Protestants, Church of England run schools, and so on and so on. So they were talking about the quality, and they were talking about, they said, you know, this should be like this, teaching quality should be like this, and cleanliness and this and that, all parameters of quality of the schools. So this meeting is going on. You've got the heads of different schools in that meeting, and they're speaking with the head of the Department of Education of UK. And this person says that the head of the Jewish schools, he stood up and said, just make your schools like our schools, that is enough. Just make your schools like our schools. Now my point is that that may look like a, you might say, oh, you know, big statement, but that's not true. I mean, it is a true statement. The quality of education, the quality of maintenance, the quality of everything in Jewish schools is superior and far superior to the same quality in Christian schools or Muslim schools, or for that matter in secular schools in the UK. So here is a community which not just takes pride in running a, you know, very good establishment, but they are able to present it very confidently to others and say that, look, I mean, why am I sitting in a meeting where you are talking about standards of education when my standard is already superior to what you are saying? Right? So instead of me sitting here and listening to this, why don't you just come and see what we are doing and replicate it? Now, my point is this, that opportunity is available to anyone. Right? It's not restricted to Jewish schools. It is anybody, whatever kind of school you're running, whatever kind of house of worship you're running, whatever kind of anything you're running, the opportunity to create a benchmark, to become a benchmark, the opportunity to become somebody who others will look up to as a role model and compare for quality of product and service, this opportunity is available to everybody. So why don't we do that? Now, why am I saying this? Because the issue of Amar bil Maruf and Nahi al Munkar, the issue of enjoining good and forbidding evil, the reason why this is so important is because this is the essence of Da'wah. This is the essence of presenting Islam. Now think about this. When we talk about Islam, when we present Islam, there are two things. One is our own worship. All our worship is internal. We do worship inside our homes, or we do worship inside our masajid. Unless you are doing, say for example, an Eid prayer in open grounds, the general public has no opportunity to see you in a state of worship, right? Today, thanks to television and thanks to the fact that the Hajj and Umrah and so on is broadcast, people can tune in and watch that. Otherwise, that also was closed to non-Muslims. Non-Muslims are not allowed in the Harbain. So therefore, their worship happening there is not open to them. They can't see it. And most people are not even interested. I mean, if, for example, I mean, the masajid of every place are open to everybody. And it's not only Muslims, all of them. But how many non-Muslims go to the masjid to see how people are worshipping? I mean, in America, for that matter, that's probably one of the places where this happens more than it happens anywhere else, to the best of my knowledge. Most other places, people don't go. Right? People live in the same place They live in the same, for example, our masjid in Hyderabad. We have people, Hindus, living in our in the apartment building, except for one family who come and who, you know, who listen to the Jummah khutbah and so on. Others just don't come. They don't bother. They're not interested. Obviously, we don't force them either. But the point is that if somebody wants to see Islam, how do they see it? So one, except for going into the masjid. So that is the reason why Amar bil Maruf and Nahi al Munkar is so important, which is how do we present Islam to people in a way which is pleasing to them, which is hopefully, you know, persuades them to consider Islam positively as a way of life. How do you do that? We do that through our interaction with them. So we do that through, and the short word for that is akhlaq, our manners. We do that with the way we treat people. We do that with the way we maintain our facilities. We do that with the way we deal with each other and so on and so forth. And this is the best presentation of Islamic akhlaq, Islamic manners, Islamic behavior that you can imagine. Right? Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself mentioned this, and he mentioned Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam as the shining example, as the standard, as the benchmark for good akhlaq. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajeem, wa innaka la'ala khuluqin azeem. In Suratul Qalam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and indeed you, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, are on the highest moral character. You are of a great moral character. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned the ways to behave. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned ways to behave, and he connected them with people that he, that Allah loves, right? People who are, inshallah, the awliya of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَعِبَادُ الرَّحْمَنَ said, the special slaves of Ar-Rahman, of the Most Merciful. Allah said, وَعِبَادُ الرَّحْمَنِ الَّذِينَ يَمْشُونَ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ حَوْنًا وَإِذَا خَاطَبَهُمُ الْجَاهِلُونَ قَالُوا سَلَامًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and the slaves of Ar-Rahman, of the Most Merciful, are those who walk upon the earth humbly, and when the ignorant accost them, when they address them harshly, they don't respond in kind. They say, Salaamu Alaikum, and they go away. Now think about that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is specifically showing us the and telling us the importance of humility, the importance of being humble, the importance of shunning any form of arrogance, the importance of not behaving badly because somebody behaves badly with you. Right? The importance of not falling into this trap of a negative, you know, negative cycle, right? So somebody, you do something wrong, somebody does something wrong, it just continues. Somebody curses you, curse them back, and it continues. Allah is saying, no, don't do that. Don't even start that cycle. If somebody talks to you inappropriately, don't lower yourself to that level. Right? The person who's doing that is obviously demonstrating his or her own raising, his or her own upbringing. They are making a statement about their own family. They are making their statement about their own parents, of how they were brought up. Don't do that. Don't fall. Don't lower yourself to that level. Right? Maybe that's how they are, but why do you want to become like that? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, just say salaam alaikum. Go away. Don't respond in kind. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَعَبُدُ اللَّهَ وَلَا تُشْرِكُوا بِهِ شَيْئًا وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا وَبِذِي الْقُرْبَى وَالْيَتَامَى وَالْمَسَاكِينِ وَالْجَارِ ذِي الْقُرْبَى وَالْجَارِ ذِي الْجُنُبِ وَصَاحِبِ بِالْجَنْبِ وَابْنِ السَّبِيلِ وَمَا مَلَكَتْ أَيْمَانُكُمْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ مَنْ كَانَ مُخْتَالًا فَخُورًا. In Suratul Nisa, Allah said, and worship Allah Jalla Jalaluhu alone, and do not associate anything or anyone with him. And to your parents, be good to your parents, and be good to relatives and to orphans and to people who are needy, and be good to the near neighbor and the neighbor further away. The Mufassirin have said that near neighbor means Muslim, and neighbor further away means somebody who is not Muslim. Wallahu alam. So he said, be good to the, Allah said, be good to the near neighbor and be good to the neighbor who's far away, and be good to the companion at your side, and be good to the traveler, and be good to those who are in your power and control. Right? People who you employ, people who are in your power and control. That is the ma malakate manukum, those whom your right hands possess, meaning people who are in your control, who you have authority over. And indeed Allah does not like those who are self-deluding and boastful. Inna Allah la yuhibbu man kana mukhtalan fakhura. People who do fakhr, who are boastful. Now think about this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is making a list of people to whom you should be good. And alhamdulillah, it's a comprehensive and complete list, and it takes into account all the constituents of our society. So it's parents and relatives and neighbors, Muslim neighbors, non-Muslim neighbors, and then strangers, orphans, people who are needy. Somebody who's an orphan who's needy, and needy may not even be my neighbor. I mean, obviously may not even be related to me, may be Muslim, non-Muslim. Doesn't matter. Allah did not say Muslim orphans. Allah didn't say Muslims who are in need. No. Orphans and people who are needy. Anybody. Obviously, just like your family, and in the family, the one who are closest to you. So it's your parents, your siblings, and then the circle moves further and further away. So just like they take precedence over others, Muslims and Muslims in need will take precedence and should take precedence for your charity over people who are not Muslim but they are in need. But Islam does not prohibit you from helping non-Muslims who are in need. Right? It's just a matter of prioritizing. Obviously, if you are going to feed somebody, you feed your children first and then you feed other people. You don't leave your home in a state of destitution and need, and you have gone away outside somewhere to help the rest of the world. That would be completely inappropriate, because your own family takes precedence over others. This is not a matter of selfishness. You cannot find fault with anybody if they are doing that. That is how they should behave. That is how it should be, right? So similarly, in this case, we are saying that if your Muslim brothers and sisters, if you give them precedence over others, this is nothing wrong. There is no sin on you for doing that. I always tell people, especially in countries where they have servants and so on and drivers and whatnot, I tell them, my Muslim brothers and sisters, try to employ Muslims first, because they are in need. They are poor, they are in need. They have no alternatives for work. They get discriminated against in other places. So at least give them a place where they can honestly earn a living and do some good work. And of course, if you can't find a Muslim, by all means, employ a non-Muslim, absolutely no problem. Also, just because you are employing a Muslim does not mean that you must settle for substandard work. No, by all means, employ a Muslim, but insist on proper work standards. That is your right as an individual. There's no need for you to compromise on that. Let them do that. And if the person is not willing to work to your quality standard, then you are more than free to send them home and employ somebody else in their place. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَقُلْ لِعِبَادِي يَقُولُ اللَّتِهِ أَحْسَنُ. Allah said, and tell my slaves to say that which is best. Again, akhlaq. When you speak something good. Rasulullah said, if you have something good to say it, otherwise remain silent. A very famous hadith. So therefore, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is again saying the same thing, which is, if you have to speak, say something good. If you do not have anything good to say, keep quiet. Don't say anything at all. Then it's a big, big musibah, big problem with people. You know, when they talk, they talk negative stuff. They talk hopeless stuff. They're constantly criticizing. They're constantly abusing people and others. They're constantly complaining and moaning and groaning. It's very debilitating to be with people like that. So remove them. Remove yourself from their company and remove them from your from your friend list, and they just drag you down. This makes no sense, right? So therefore, ensure that you are with people who are positive, people who are beneficial to you in terms of your mental and psychological health also. And that's why Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us, you know, the importance of having good friends. He said, have friends. He said he gave the characteristics of friends. He said a friend should be somebody who reminds you of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then he said a friend should be somebody that you learn something from. And then he said the third thing is, he said a friend should be somebody who reminds you of the akhirah, meaning the friend's behavior should be such that it keeps you always focused on the akhirah. So these are the three qualities of a good friend: somebody who can learn from, somebody who reminds you of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and somebody who reminds you of the akhirah. So you look at you see the friend, you are in the company, you are beneficial. And of course, the question to ask ourselves is, am I such a friend for others? One is that I am looking for good friends, and second thing is that am I a good friend? A good friend is not just a matter of being close to somebody. No, a good friend is in terms of the akhlaq that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam described. Today we place a lot of emphasis on fun and games and, you know, having friends and so on. Think about that. Think about that, because in our way of having fun and so on and so forth, you know, are you becoming a means of people to praise Islam, or are you becoming a means of people to hate Islam? I remember recently on an outing that I went on with some people, and that's my observation, that we had a bunch of young people, and in the hotel they made so much noise, you know, jumping and leaping and screaming and whatnot, that people came out of the other guests came out of their rooms and abused them, and they cursed them, right? And they shouted at them. Now, is this the impression of Islam and Muslims that you want the world to have? That people have no consideration for the Muslims are people who have no consideration for others? That you make a noise, you yell and scream and so on, don't you know that there are other people staying in the hotel? Somebody has to tell you that. I mean, what kind of raising is this? What kind of homes do you come from? What kind of parents do you have? They didn't teach you this, that you shouldn't be running and screaming like a maniac in a hotel? Right? You pass through some place, and then next thing you know it, the whole place is littered with all kinds of garbage. La hawla wa quwwata illa billah. You must make it these are things to be taught, right? Parents should teach the children this, and so-called children must teach each other this. I'm saying so-called children because the people concerned are, you know, between the ages of 15 or 17 to the ages of 25. These are not children. These are adults. And at this age, if they don't know, if they don't have manners, if they don't have consideration for others, if they have no sense of quality, no sense of cleanliness and neatness and so on and so forth, what kind of children are they going to have? What kind of generation are they going to raise? So they must be taught that when you wake up, the first thing you do is make your bed. Before you go to bed, polish your shoes, put your shoes together in one place, neatly, not throw them all over the room. Doesn't matter if the hotel has room service or not. Doesn't matter if the hotel has housekeeping or not. You make the bed. You make sure when the housekeeping person comes in, they see a neat, cleanly made bed. Make sure that when you have a shower, that you hang the towel on the towel rack, not throw it as a lump in the shower stall. Make sure that if you're using toilet paper, that the toilet paper goes into the correct place after you use the toilet paper. Don't throw it somewhere. It stinks, it's miserable, it's horrible. I'm not making all this up. These are things that I personally observed, and they're very shameful. Now my point is that if this is your impression that you are creating in the world as Muslims, what do you expect people to do? Love Islam? Come to Islam? Teach me how to throw toilet paper all over the place. Teach me how to throw towels like a lump in the uh, in 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 the in the in the shower stall, this is what Islam is, I would like to learn Islam. Is this going to happen? Or are people going to say, never bring a Muslim into this hotel again? You can keep your money, you can keep your reservations, we don't want you. Which one? What do you think? My brothers and sisters, seriously, the time has come when people, the whole world is saying, we are sick and tired of listening to people talking about Islam. Shut your mouth and show us Islam. If you can't show us Islam, then shut your mouth and get out. Go away. We don't want you. If this is what Islam is, we don't want Islam. Akhlaq, adab. Complete disrespect. The way people, young people, may Allah protect us from such people. I know there are, alhamdulillah, I have the benefit of knowing the opposite of young people who are very well brought up, alhamdulillah, who have adab, who have respect for others. Otherwise, they sit in a halaqa of the Quran, and you have the sheikh there who is giving dars of Quran. He's got a mushaf open there. And you have this young guy who's got a problem with his backbone. His backbone has no problem when he's watching Super Bowl. His backbone has no problem when he's playing basketball. His backbone has no problem when he's playing soccer. But when he's sitting in the halaqa, he sits there and his feet are extended towards the qibla, towards the face of the sheikh, towards the mushaf, towards the Quran. What is this? What manners is this? Seriously, please. Life is not a joke. Everything you do, remember that people are watching. The world is watching. They are watching a Muslim living Islam. Ask yourself, is this what you want them to see? The Sahaba used to say, Kunu mithlana. They used to say, become like us. Can we say that? Become like us. Run around like banshees screaming in hotels. Become like us. Drive on the street like maniacs. Inna lillahi wa inna ilaihi rajiun. Become like us. We have people who bring, in the name of donating things, they bring their garbage, quite literally. They bring stuff which nobody wants. They don't want it and nobody wants it and they can't give it anywhere else. They put this into trash bags, literally, plastic trash bags. And they bring it and then dump it in front of the masjid in the main entrance door of the masjid. And they call it donation. You want to donate garbage to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? This is Islam? To donate garbage to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? If it is stuff you don't want, believe me, nobody else wants it either. And if you are going to bring it to the masjid and dump it in front of the masjid, that's showing the impression, that is showing how important the masjid is for you. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Please. Think about this. Allah is watching. And not only is Allah watching, and not only will Allah reward or not reward based on this, but people are watching. The world is watching. The neighbors are watching. And every one of them is carrying away an impression of Islam because of you. Now ask yourself, what impression are they carrying away? If the impression they are carrying away is good, alhamdulillah, if the impression they are carrying away is bad, you are responsible. It's no use. You can have all kinds of websites, you can have books, you can have videos, you can have whatever you want in terms of the work of Dawah. But if your and my behavior is bad, then all of that becomes nullified. All of us know the issue of parking, right? Global problem. I know, what is wrong with Muslims? I mean, global problem. I have seen this, thanks to my travels, I have seen this in country after country after country. everywhere. If there is a masjid, then Muslims must park badly. They will park their cars anywhere, including on the neighbor's lawns. I mean, come on, have some sense, for God's sake. I mean, that is that man's property, that is his lawn. What is your car doing on his lawn? Because I'm going to pray, brother. I'm going to pray. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Cars parked across gates. We have in our masjid in Hyderabad, right opposite the masjid is the church. Now the church, we have been there for 11 years. In 11 years, not one single time did any of the churchgoers park their cars across our masjid gate. Never. Not one single time. And for us, almost every Ramadan, we have this problem. In Taraweeh or in Qiyamul Layl, you will have some intelligent genius who will park his or her car across the gate of the church. Across the gate of the church. I mean, what should we do? Tell me. How do you park a car across the gate of somebody, church or house or whatever it is? And we had a big serious problem once, because we have a very good relationship with those people. And those people now, the church people, they have, you know, they get very embarrassed, because now some creature has parked his car or her car across the gate. And one day we had a problem because somebody was sick, the pastor was sick, and he had to be taken to hospital, and they couldn't come out of their own church because one of our Muslim brothers or sisters had parked their car across the gate. What shall we do? I mean, you got the brains to buy a car, but you don't have the brains to know where to park it. Utterly shameful. Utterly shameful. This is the meaning of akhlaq. What is the meaning of living Islam? It's the meaning of living Islam is to live Islam in a way where a person looks at you and says, Wallahi, this is a Muslim, I want to be like this person. This is a Muslim child, I want to go meet the parents and say, what a beautiful child you brought up. How can we bring up our children like this? This is a Muslim home, see how beautiful it looks. This is the Muslim masjid, this is the Muslim house of worship. Oh, fantastic, beautiful. Let us see what is it they do, how they do that. This is a Muslim school, see the quality of education. See how happy the children are, see how caring and concerned and compassionate the teachers are. See the quality of the teachers. Eh? This is a Muslim business, see how they treat people. They pay them proper wages, they don't steal their wages. They treat them well. They treat them with respect. They don't abuse them. They don't treat them like personal servants. This is a Muslim driving a car on the road. MashaAllah, look at the driving. See how beautifully he drives. He doesn't overspeed. He doesn't cut lanes. He doesn't cut corners. When he parks his car, he parks it properly according to the law. And with consideration for others. Huh? Why can't we do this? Tell me. Why can we not do this? You know perfectly well, every single thing that I'm saying, almost every one of you has seen that. I'm not exaggerating. I'm saying it as it is. Why? Why is it like this? Believe me, today, the negative rap that Islam and Muslims have, I agree, a lot of it is propaganda. A lot of it is lies. A lot of it is complete falsehood. But also, some of it is based on fact. And some of it is based on fact. Maybe the fact gets exaggerated. Maybe because of the fact, people are upset, so they go and look for, they create, false things. I'm not justifying that. But I'm saying that there is not just a spark of fact. There's a lot of fact in what people are seeing. It's our job to ensure that we present the best view of Islam. And what is that best view? It is the way we talk, the way we walk, the way we deal with people, the way we conduct ourselves at home, in workplaces, in public places. That is the Islam that the world will see. The Islam does not see your aqidah, because the aqidah is inside your heart. What you believe, nobody knows except Allah. Your ibadat, your worship, by and large, nobody sees. If I am fasting, you don't know that. Even our zakat is given to Muslims. So what do non-Muslims, what do the others, the subjects or the mukhatabs or the customers of our dawah, what do they see? They see our charity other than zakat. They see the way we conduct ourselves. They see how we walk and talk. They see how we deal with each other. They see how we deal with them. My brothers and sisters, seriously, let us pay attention to this. Let us correct ourselves. Because not only are these things wrong, and not only are these things going to be a problem for us when we meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but we are actually doing damage to the impression and to the image of Islam in this world. I don't know if that is how you want to be remembered, as people who damage their own community, their own religion and their own faith. That's the reason why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the hadith narrated by Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, he said, I have only been sent to perfect righteous behavior. Right? إِنَّمَا بُعِثْتُ لِأُتِمَّ سَارِحَ الْأَخْلَاقِ. Think about this hadith. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not saying, I have been sent to correct bad akhlaq. He didn't say, I have been sent to correct bad behavior, bad manners. No. I have been sent to perfect righteous behavior. So already the behavior is righteous. Already the behavior is good, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent His Nabi to make it even better, to perfect it. That is the importance of good behavior, of righteous akhlaq. And that's why we must pay attention to this, not ignore it. Manners, akhlaq, is what people see. And that is the meaning of living Islam. And this hadith is in Musnad Ibn Ahmad. Another hadith in Sahih Bukhari, Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu narrated, a man said to Rasulullah sallam, Ya Rasulullah, please advise me. Rasulullah sallam said to him, do not become angry and furious. Right? Don't get angry. The man asked him the same thing, and Rasulullah ﷺ replied the same thing. Do not become angry and furious. The man asked him again a third time. Rasulullah ﷺ said exactly the same thing. He said, do not get angry and furious. And this hadith is in Bukhari. Now, think about that. One, of course, we know that Rasulullah ﷺ knew his sahaba, his companions so well that he always gave them the advice which was the best for them, and which was really sort of targeted or customized to them and customized for them. Right? We know this. So maybe the person who asked this advice from Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was somebody who was susceptible perhaps to, he had some anger issues, he probably had some anger control issues. But apart from that, this is good advice, alhamdulillah, for anybody in any situation. It's not only for somebody who has issues of anger, controlling anger, but to control your anger. I mean, everybody gets angry. Anger is a natural emotion, right? Emotions are, people say negative, positive. Emotions are value neutral, neither negative nor positive. How you express that emotion makes it positive or negative. Anger is value neutral. Anger is also something that you should feel in the right place. Because if there is an issue where you should feel angry, somebody is being obnoxious, somebody is creating a problem, somebody is lying or cheating, and you are not angry, why are you not angry? Because then it means that you don't understand what's happening. But the way you express that anger, if you express that anger negatively by yelling, screaming, raving and, you know, abusing and so on, then your expression of anger is worse than whatever caused the anger. So, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is saying, don't do that. He didn't say, don't feel angry. He said, no. He said, do not express anger. Don't get furious. I remind myself and you, in conclusion, that the whole point of leaving Islam is because that is the most powerful dawah. The most powerful invitation to Islam is by the way we live Islam ourselves. May Allah make it easy for us and may Allah accept it from us, inshallah, and enable us to live on the beautiful sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Wassalamu alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh.